Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseman Terang playing up the middle. Pitch is swung on and driven high in the air, deep to center. Churio back, warning track, and there it goes. A long home run to center. Tommy Pham hits home run number one as a Pirate. And it's 3-0 here in the fourth.
How about that? Joe Block there on the call saying that the Brewers had him played up the middle. You should have had him 419 feet up the middle. Behind the fence in center field. You ready for what I'm about to do?
Yes.
We are family. Outfielder can finally see. How about that? You get him some contacts. This guy's turning into Mickey Mantle out there. I actually do feel good for Tommy Pham.
I got to give that one to you.
Let's go.
That was good.
Let's go.
That was good.
Starkey would be proud of that.
That was good.
I feel good for Tommy Pham because we've criticized him a lot, and deservedly so, and we've criticized Ben Cherington for Tommy Pham, and really it's much more on Cherington than it is on Pham. It's not Pham's fault that he hasn't been very good and hasn't been good for the last few years. It's Ben Cherington's fault that he paid him $4 million and his fault that they continue to pencil him in from time to time in the lineup. So Tommy has been battling through this eye issue, I guess, all year. And the last two games, he's looked really good. That's not the biggest takeaway, but, well, frankly, I just wanted to sing my little song.
That was good.
That's a good win for the Buccos last night.
Yes, it is.
But I think my biggest takeaway was, what the hell was Don Kelly doing to take Braxton Ashcraft out of the game? He pitches 3 innings, was flawless. That guy's stuff is really good, Don.
Mm-hmm.
97
that was
with
his
that
first starting game, though,
run.
Right?
First start?
Yes.
He only threw 35 pitches. He had thrown 40 his last time out. He had thrown 50 in his first appearance with the Pirates this year. So it's not as if the guy couldn't have gone deeper into the ballgame. And you replace him with a guy who has been up and down this season in Hunter Stratton, who threw 40 pitches in one inning, gave up 4 hits, 3 earned runs, and they let him go out there to start the next inning. So, hey, this was a day to celebrate. Hooray, Tommy Pham. Yes, Nick Gonzalez, David Bednar, a lot of takeaways. But Donnie Kelly has the Pirates at 20-22 since he's taken over as field manager. And when we asked the question, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, do you think he's done enough already to be the manager next year? We both said, wait and see. I'm still in the wait and see phase, man. And I think that he's a better manager than Derek Shelton. He's gotten more out of the same roster than Shelton did, but he's on pace to win 76 games if you extrapolated it over a full season, which is exactly as many games as they won each of the last 2 years. I'm not saying he can't come back next year, but stuff like last night does give me pause.
I was okay with it. Like I kind of wanted, like I'm glad that that happened whenever he pulled Ashcraft like that, because like you do run the risk. It's the first start of Ashcraft's career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had been playing, obviously, out of the bullpen and coming in situations. But you run the risk of, all right, this young guy is having a good outing, right? And you do run the risk of, all right, like, let's see how many more pitches he can throw. And say he throws 10 more pitches, 20 more pitches, and he has an inning like
Stratton did.
And then you just ruin that whole confidence.
Yeah.
You ruined the whole thing. So pulling the trigger, I guess, or pulling the rope at the time that they did and Don Kelly did, I kind of liked it because now you preserved his confidence. Now he could go back and be like, all right, I can do this. And you didn't kind of ruin anything that he had going.
I see where you're coming from.
Stuff. I kind of liked it. That's probably an opposite take of a lot of people. And I know a lot of people wanted to see him keep going. And obviously yourself being one of them, but I kind of liked it because it's like the guy's doing really good. He's shown that he has good stuff. We know that he has good stuff. Let's kind of protect him a little bit and take him out before something bad might happen.
Yeah, I can see that logic. And they probably only planned for him to go three innings.
Right, that too.
And we know sometimes they're married to their plan, particularly when it comes to these bullpen games. So it might not even have been Don Kelly's decision. This might have come from on high, which I like the field manager to be in charge of the day-to-day and in-game moves, but when you have these bullpen games, sometimes that's not the case. The biggest takeaway from the game, there are two actually, I think. Number one, this team continues to just throw out good young arms. Now, Ashcraft's been in the bullpen for a little while now. He's got an ERA under 1.5. Mike Burrows has shown that he's got major league quality stuff. We haven't even seen Barco. We haven't seen Bubba Chandler, who's fallen on hard times in AAA, but he's still one of the best prospects, if not the best prospect now, with Roman Anthony being called up to the big leagues in all of Major League Baseball. This team has so many arms that it makes me want to scream into the void and rip all my hair out. How could you, Ben Cherington, have built this roster to the point where you've got one of the best young pitching staffs in all of Major League Baseball, and you couldn't have stumbled backwards into a couple of hitters? You have three or four more hitters, and that sounds like a lot, but it's really not. When you're talking about 6 years of drafting, developing, and acquiring guys, you have three or four more hitters. You're in a playoff spot right now, or you're fighting for a playoff spot right now. The bullpen has really taken shape. We know what Dennis Santana is. David Bednar looks like David Bednar again. Ashcraft in the bullpen. We saw Shugart last night. Ferguson. This is a good bullpen. All of a sudden. So you've got a good rotation with help still on the way. You've got a good bullpen. And then you look at the lineup and it's, what the frig, man? Mm-hmm. You're so close to having the formula down. But while you've built up one side to where it's not flawless, but you've done a great job. And then the other side, when you're talking about the lineup, you've done nothing. It just, it's so frustrating.
Could Ashcraft be a tradable asset?
Yes.
Maybe that's why they pulled him too. Maybe that there's a bigger.
That is.
Look at this.
That is something that, whether it's Ben Cherington or another general manager, and that's exactly where I was going, you have to be bold. We had Dan Zangrilli on yesterday, and that's what he said too. That he thinks, listening to Ben Cherington on Sunday, that Ben Cherington's about to shake stuff up. You need to give to get. And the famous Ben Cherington quote from last year, was it? You have to be comfortable saying no. Nah, man. You got to be bold. Ray Shiro was bold. He gives up a lot, at least we thought at the time, for Marian Hossa. He gave up a lot for Jerome Iginla. And those two deals didn't wind up leading to championships, but they were bold moves. He goes out, he gets Billy Guerin. He goes out and he gets Chris Kunitz. You need to be bold. Whenever it wasn't working with him and he laid the foundation, you hire Jim Rutherford, who was bold. He goes out and he gives up a 40-goal scorer in James Neal, takes something off his roster. One of the hardest things to get in that sport, a 40-goal scorer, turns that into a guy who was not as good from a production standpoint. He turns it into Patrick Hornquist. You have to be willing to give to get. That's what Ben Cherington needs to do. You've got all this good young pitching. You need to move some of it to get hitters up in here. You've got it in spades. Move off of some of it. And that means if you're going to have to trade Bailey Falter because he's been really good and he's cost effective, and so that would be yearned for by another team, maybe you give that up. Or because Mitch Keller has been an innings eater these last few years and he's affordable by other team standards, maybe.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Give him up, and then it's money in for money out, that kind of thing. We know they're going to move off of Andrew Heaney. And we know that at least Ben Cherington's been able to backfill the rotation whenever they have had holes. But they traded Quinn Priester last year. That's not bold. And you get Billy Cook, woohoo, who you won't let play in the majors.
Right.
Like, what are we doing? You trade Luis Ortiz because he's expendable. He had a great year last year. You feel like you're selling high. All you can get is Spencer Horwitz. I'm not talking about the guys you're comfortable giving up.
Uh-huh.
You might have to give up a guy that you're not comfortable giving up. Maybe that's a Burroughs. Maybe that's an Ashcraft. Or maybe you really want to shake it up, and it's a Bubba Chandler. But if the Pirates are going to get where they need to go, Ben Cherington needs to be bold. And you need to be uncomfortable. And he has not been willing to be uncomfortable. 412-928-9370. Drives me nuts. Like, how do you look at what you have from a lineup construction standpoint and not think, oh, what do we have a lot of? Let me give up what we got a lot of to get something we have nothing of. Other big takeaway from last night is Nicky G. We had a conversation last week, Doran, about which players you can build around moving forward. We'll get into Nicky G when we come back. David Bednar was great again. Perhaps they trade him. And what do the Brewers have that the Pirates don't? Boy, there's a lot to get to.
There is. There sure is.
We also have to get to Emmanuel Acho, who has let ring culture just break his brain. A very funny moment that went viral on social media yesterday. We'll get to that at some point this hour. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can text us. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Right now, it's an intern Dom fan headline. What's his name? Intern Dom fan headline. Doran, did you see that the Mets have a reliever named Dickie Lovelady?
Well, didn't he change his name to Dickie, wasn't it?
Richard Lovelady.
Yes.
To Dickie Lovelady.
Yes.
That's a good choice by him.
Yeah.
You got to go out there and shove, though.
Yeah.
You can't be giving up meatballs as Dickie Lovelady.
No. You got to be a dog.
The K's per nine got to be up. You got to be getting dudes flailing left and right, swing and miss. I haven't seen what this guy looks like, but if I were Dickie Lovelady, I would lean into it. I think I'd go like mohawk into a mullet. I think I'd wear rec specs. I think I'd be kind of trying to look like Wild Thing from Major League.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd sprint in from the bullpen. If your name is Dickie Lovelady, I think you have to make that your entire personality.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's doing. He's leaning into it, obviously changing his name. And yeah, good for him. Yeah. Lefty.
He's a lefty.
He's a lefty.
Lefty Dickie Lovelady. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How about Nick Gonzalez?
My guy.
That's your guy.
Yep.
5-for-5 last night. Nick Gonzalez has almost played the equivalent of a full major league season now. 148 games. 264 average, 307 on base percentage, 401 slug, and OPS is 708. I think he's only getting better.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that was apparent last night, and this is something you either have or you don't, that guy just hunts RBIs, man. How many times do the Pirates leave dudes on base this year because their approach is just awful? Swinging through stuff. O'Neill Cruz left a guy on base last night, popped one up. When Nicky Gonzalez is up there and there's a guy in scoring position, he's going to put the ball in play.
Yeah.
That's job one.
Yep.
But he's looking to go the other way. He's thinking, worst case scenario, I'm going to hit that thing on the ground and I'm going to advance the runner to third base. Or if the runner's on third, I'm going to put it in play and he's going to have a chance to score. He's got 64 RBIs. In 148 games, which for someone who's routinely played down in the lineup, that's a pretty solid number. And I used to be out on RBIs. Yeah, they don't really tell the full story. For him, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Because he seems to, in those moments, not let them get too big for him. And he looks like a professional hitter up there in a lineup that is filled with guys who don't. So I'm bullish now on Nick Gonzalez. I had thrown a question mark next to him when we were talking about guys you can build around. This is someone with a ton of pedigree.
Yes.
Who is a top 10 pick in the draft, who is starting to look like that guy. And I think he plays a pretty solid second base, too. I think he's only scratching the surface here, Doran.
Yeah, he has a lot of potential. You know, it was a shame that he got hurt and, you know, what, he broke his ankle or whatever whenever he hit that home run at the beginning of the season, because who knows where he'd be at right now if he would have just, you know, was healthy throughout this, you know, first portion of the season. So I just hope that they don't move him.
Yeah, play him in a different position.
Well, I could see them trading.
You're the shortstop.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. I could see them trading IKF and then moving Nick Gonzalez. So Nick Gonzalez can play shortstop now, moving him, and then he gets out of whack, and then you put somebody else like Triola at second base or something, and you know, you do it for no reason. Just leave him be. Let him be him. Let him keep growing. Like, he is a bright spot in this lineup and on this team at this point. And I, like you said, I think he's just getting better and better and better and better.
People are saying that Nick Gonzalez could be named Dickie Lovelady because he's got that porn stash.
Yep.
Skeens made the stash cool last year. Now Skeens is going with the stubbly kind of bearded look. Nicky G with that mustache. As long as you're hitting this way with runners in scoring position, he's hitting .320 now on the season. Keep it going, buddy.
Yeah, he's a ball player.
You know what, man? That is the description for Nick Gonzalez.
He's a ball player, yeah.
He is a ball player. Now, he had a bad slide in the second base.
Oh, he had his foot up, yeah.
Yeah, and he kind of slid on a curve, if that makes sense. Like, he was sort of out of the baseline, closer to the grass, and had to make an about-face turn. If he had just stayed on his line and probably slid head first, he'd probably beaten that throw. So, little things. But he is a ball player. Hunts RBIs. His batting average going into the game was .271, which on this team, I mean, my God. Makes you look like name great ball player.
Shohei.
Yeah, in his prime. Finished the night with a .320 batting average. He's got an .843 OPS. And the eye test backs it up, too. I know it's a small sample. He's only played 19 games this year. But I want him up there in the most crucial situations, which is a big step for one, Nick Gonzalez. Also good last night, David Bednar, who went one inning, one hit, strikeout, got the save. He now has 11 on the season, and quietly, Doran, has brought his ERA under 3 to 2.93. We talk about Ben Cherington needing to be bold.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Bold would mean trading David Bednar, and I absolutely would do it before the deadline. Now, again, I feel like we have to slap this disclaimer on it anytime we talk about the deadline. I wouldn't have Ben Cherington be my GM right now. But because he is, you got to make moves. I think he should want to be bold, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be passive at this deadline if you're Ben Cherington.
Right.
You're in year six. You're on pace to lose a lot more games than you lost the last 2 years, and the last 2 years ain't been good enough. If I'm trying to save my job, I'm going to be bold, and I think that would qualify as bold.
Yes.
But I'd be worried about a backslide for Bednar. He seems to have figured it out. He's a two-time All-Star. I think you could get something for him, maybe a lot of something for him. Teams are desperate for relievers at the deadline. He would probably be my number one movable asset if I'm Ben Cherington.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to do it. You've got Dennis Santana, who did not pitch last night, which is good because it was a bullpen game, so you should be able to use him tonight. But you've got Dennis Santana. He can step right in. And then I don't know how it's all going to shake out in the starting rotation, depending on who's here, who gets moved before next year. But if Dennis Santana is my closer next year and Braxton Ashcraft is my setup guy, that's great.
Yeah.
Or if he's in the rotation and Carmen Majinski is my setup guy, I think you're in a pretty good spot. So I'm moving David Bednar. That would be a bold move that I'd make. At 412-928-9370. I said that the Brewers have something the Pirates don't. We'll get to that coming up next. Jeff Hathorne is going to join us today at 7 a.m. And Jeff said this weekend that Steelers players were pleasantly surprised by Aaron Rodgers' personality, Dorn, during minicamp. Said that some players feel that Rodgers is a more normal guy than you hear about.
Mm-hmm.
Something you've said for a long time now.
Yeah.
We're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers today. He's going to be on the Pat McAfee show. I can't wait to hear him start gassing up Steelers teammates, because you know that's exactly what he's going to do today. He's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
I love Cam Hayward. Played at his golf outing. Yep. Boy, DK Metcalf, he's a specimen. The thing that I'm looking forward to hearing, though, is if and when skill position guys are going to go out to Malibu with him and start throwing that thing around.
You think he's going to say that?
I think so.
You think?
Yeah, I think that endears him to the fans. I think he wants people to see that he cares, because I do think he cares more than people give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
He's a super competitive guy.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't treat it like Tom Brady, but I don't think that's some great sin. Tom Brady was one of one. Michael Jordan was one of one. You hear all the time, well, Tom Brady was never distracted. Aaron Rodgers is distracted. Okay, he's not Tom Brady. So what?
He does it his way.
Yeah. You watch his documentary, which I understand is an attempted puff piece. Like, I get what a documentary is. But you watch that, you can't question the guy's toughness or want to. You really can't. Okay, he was out in Egypt. So what? The rehab? The way he attacked that with vigor? He wanted to come back faster than anybody had ever come back from an Achilles injury, and he damn near did it. It's because he was dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that today. I'm sure we'll react to it a bunch tomorrow.
What else do you think he's going to say?
I don't know.
You think he's going to comment on TJ Watt? You think that question will be asked?
I doubt that it'll be asked.
Mm-hmm.
But JJ's been on the show a bunch, so right. You know what? Maybe it will. What are you hoping to hear?
Just kind of what his goal is for this year. You know, I don't know if that's really ever been stated by him. We can assume that, and we have these discussions because that's our job, but like, he wants to go and finish his career out on a high note. He wants to, you know, maybe even play more than just this year. Like, I'd ask the question, like, what is your goal with playing with the Steelers this year? What are you looking to accomplish?
Because he kind of gave the cutesy answer in his media availability. He was like, well, it'd be nice to get a 7th championship.
Right.
But he was sort of keeping it moving, friendly, at times awkward, back and forth with the Pittsburgh media. He'll be more comfortable with McAfee, as he always is.
Because there's definitely something that he's looking to accomplish this year. Outside of, I mean, and I'm sure he's realistic with himself. Usually guys at that level are realistic to the fact, we're probably not going to make it the Super Bowl. If we do, oh my God, I accomplished something insane. But like, realistically, probably not going to make it the Super Bowl. Like, what is his goal? Like, what's your soul telling you
and not your ego, Mr. Rodgers?
Right.
We saw something last night that had to have Dom just excited, perhaps even in the pants, Doran. Dom, were you watching the Pirates game last night? I'm sure you were.
I was, actually.
Do you know what I'm referring to?
No, I don't.
Mid-game, storm starts rolling in, and they close the roof.
Oh, yes.
Dom has argued for a long time that every stadium in Major League Baseball should be domed, because then there wouldn't be rain delays. And I thought you would have been really excited about it. No.
I agree with that.
What?
Yeah, open and close it. Why do you want a rain delay? If you could have a roof, a retractable roof, you would avoid rain delays. What? Like, there's no other reason.
Baseball should be played outside.
Yeah, but you can open it up. Retractable roof.
I don't think you're making PNC Park as beautiful with a retractable roof. I'm also not an architect.
I'm sure that you can make it where you can open it up to see the view that everybody likes to see.
You couldn't do it now, though, obviously. Like, you'd have to tear it down, because I'm sure it's not structurally able to have
to
a roof
that,
added to
right.
it. Yeah. And you're not going to get the same view if you try to do it again, if you put it in the same spot, because you can't put it in the same spot, because you got to do it in the parking lot whenever you're tearing the other one down. And this might be coming faster than people realize. Like, certainly with Heinz Field, Acrisure Stadium, Three Rivers is only around 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're at 25 years for the ACK.
Yep.
Now, I think PNC Park could last a little bit longer. I mean, we know baseball ballparks, you hang on to them for a while and they become these historical relics or whatever, but... Yeah, I mean, I guess like if they the next time they build a stadium, if you want to put a damn roof on it that opens and closes, I understand, to avoid rain delays.
Yeah.
I just thought he would have been titillated by that development last night.
Well, I'm glad Doran's on my side on this, because people make me out to be insane for thinking this.
It's like, you can open it up. It's not like you're saying put them in a bubble.
Correct. Thank you. Thank you.
Like, open it up. And you could keep the view. Like, say it is PNC Park. Like, just make it like a... like a Pac-Man roof, I guess. Like, the Pac-Man opens his mouth and you could still see out.
A Pac-Man roof.
But still have a roof, like, over, but keep it open, front, in the front open.
Well,
like,
Milwaukee does it really well. I've been there. It's a great ballpark. As long as it opens and closes, I guess I can get on board with it. But if it were a permanent dome, and you were never suggesting a permanent dome, were you?
No, retractable roof was always what I said. And people took it as, oh, we're going to...
I think every single stadium should have that, even in football.
No one wants to be freezing their nards off at a playoff game.
Think about how much more money that you can make if you're owning the stadium.
If you own the stadium, yeah.
If you own the stadium, you could have concerts. You could have, you know, what are those big truck things that... monster truck shows.
Yeah.
Things of that nature. All kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, if you own the stadium, if the Steelers own the stadium and you had a dome, you can make money hand over fist. That would cost you $1 billion to build it, but yeah, for sure. I think you guys have swayed me on this, so long as it can open and close.
Yeah.
My favorite all time is the one they got out there in Arizona for football, where it's the giant toaster and the grass is kind of like the Pop-Tart and they slide it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you got natural grass getting baked in the sun, and then they would just slide it right in.
Yep.
Engineering genius. So the Brewers have that. The Pirates don't. The Brewers also have a general manager the Pirates could have had, Matt Arnold, who was the assistant GM with the Brewers before they hired him on full-time as the GM. It was reported back in 2019. It came down to Matt Arnold and Ben Cherington. And in Matt Arnold's tenure with the Brewers, they have yet to have a losing season. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's a payroll thing. This year, Pirates payroll, 22nd Major League Baseball, Brewers, 21st.
Mm.
Pirates last year, 24th payroll in Major League Baseball. This is from SpotTrack.com. Don't get after me on this. The Brewers was 20th. So it's not like the Brewers have a significant money advantage. And anything that you could say they have in terms of a money advantage, if the Pirates are actually good, ballpark would be filled, and that would make up the difference there. So he's on a budget, and they're winning.
Yep.
Pirates on a budget. They've built a tremendous young pitching staff. 15 games under 500. Could have had him. Could have had Matty Arnold. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Coming up next, ring culture has broken the brain of Emmanuel Acho. This was my favorite soundbite so far. I mean, we're only 2 days into the week. I think it's going to be my favorite soundbite all week long. It might be my favorite soundbite in the last, like, 4 months.
I have a very simple legacy formula. It's very simple. I was not great at math. You don't have to be for it. Championships divided by teams you played for is how great your legacy. The higher the number on the far right column, the greater your legacy is. As you can see, Kobe Bryant, 5 chips, 1 team. Tim Duncan, 5 chips, 1 team. Steph Curry, 4 chips, 1 team. LeBron James, 4 chips, 3 teams. Obviously, notably left off there is Michael Jordan, but y'all get it. Y'all can do the math. The number of championships you win by the teams you play for, to me, is your legacy. Your legacy is dependent upon how many championships you win and how many teams that you have to play for to do it.
Oh, Emmanuel Acho didn't get too deep into the math. If he had, he'd realized his formula was a bad one. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Michael Jordan played for 2 teams.
Mm-hmm.
He also played baseball.
That's right.
How do we factor that in with the math?
Don't know.
Got to do some sort of weird sports algebra. So Michael Jordan won 6 championships, went 6-0 in championships, played for 2 teams. So according to Emmanuel Acho's math, he only has 3 legacy points. Gretzky played for 4 teams. Won 4 championships, all with the Oilers. He'd have a legacy score of 1. Mario Lemieux, who played his entire career with the Penguins, had 2 championships. Thus, his championship legacy score is 2. Mario, a better player than Gretzky. Joe Montana played for the Chiefs, had 4 championships. So 2 teams, divide 4 by 2. Legacy score of 2. It's so flawed, man, and it's hilarious. Now, we have talked about this. If Connor McDavid didn't win a championship with the Oilers and went and signed somewhere and sought out a better team to win a championship, I do think people would hold it against him. LeBron James couldn't win in Cleveland, so he leaves to chase a championship. Wins it a couple times in Miami. Oh, boy, you went and sought out a super team? That's going to hurt the legacy a little bit. Now, he fixes the legacy by going back to Cleveland and winning a championship. But it's way more complicated than just coming up with a mathematical formula. Tom Brady played for 2 teams.
Right.
7 divided by 2, 3.5. Terry Bradshaw, 4 Super Bowls with the Steelers. 1 team. He's got a 4. Terry Bradshaw better than Brady. How about that? It's a bad math by Emmanuel Acho. And everyone on the desk, if you saw this, they're looking at him like, what the hell am I man doing right
I mean,
now?
They're probably just confused in general, like I was. I'm like, what are you trying to do? Like, you're trying to outsmart yourself, and you always think that you're the smartest guy anyway. So this time, you really stepped in it, Acho.
He has KD, who just got traded to Houston. He's got five teams and two rings. So with the math there, that's 0.4 legacy score. It's just,
I mean,
it's one of the more head-scratching attempted takes I've ever seen.
He pinned this tweet, and then the next tweet that he had underneath it says, this is the simplest and clearest formula to identifying a player's legacy, but like anything, there's nuance.
Yeah, there's nuance. That's why you can't do a formula. Like Robert Horry, how many did he win? Like, he was always known as...
Seven.
He won seven championships.
He was with four teams, so he has a score of 1.75.
Meanwhile, Robert Horry's thought of as, like, this great playoff performer, tremendous defender. His legacy is actually a great one, but not according to Emmanuel Acho. He played for too many teams. Chris Kunitz at the end of his career. I think he played for Chicago. He winds up going to Tampa. He won a championship with the Ducks. He's won four. He played for four teams. He's got a one. A legacy of one. Even though he scores a double overtime goal, two goals in a game seven, Penguins don't win a championship in 2017 if not for Chris Kunitz. They don't win in 2009 without Chris Kunitz. It's just laughable. I want to keep playing the game, though. Like, what's the funniest one that we can come up with here? What's the funniest math we can get? 412-928-9370. So I guess Franco, because he played for Seattle.
Correct.
He doesn't get credit for all four championships.
Did you say Montana?
He gets two. I did say Montana.
Okay.
So Eli Manning has the same number of legacy points as Joe Montana because Eli played for one franchise and won two. He's got two. Meanwhile, Montana, two franchises. He's got four, but he's only got two because he divided four by two.
Right.
Crowley, you've worked for two radio stations and have no championships. So what's your legacy score?
It's negative.
Negative.
I don't know that you can get to negative numbers by dividing, can you? I don't think so.
Two divided by zero? That's not a negative number. That's...
It's hard to say.
Is that like not
possible? I don't
know. Possible?
I can't do it. A texter does. This isn't me just saying. Acho spending too much time, well, with Joy Taylor. Texter, you're freaking out about nothing. I'm not freaking out. I think it's hilarious. You bring up Jordan and Montana. They didn't run the other team to go win championships. They were both forced out. There's no room for nuance. It's a math formula. There's no nuance in math. You can either split the atom or you can't split the atom. There's mm-hmm. no nuance.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. Steve Kerr. How many did he win?
Three?
With the Bulls.
Yep.
One, two, three, four, five.
Five. Oh, he won five.
But he won in 2003 with the Lakers, I'm guessing. Or the Spurs. I'm not going to pretend like I know enough about Steve Kerr and his NBA career. I'm on. It was with the... Look at me. Oh, it was with the Spurs.
The Spurs.
Look at that, Crowley. How about that?
So Tim Duncan.
Oh, his legacy index through the roof.
Through the roof.
Absolutely through the roof. Blows the roof right off the damn place.
Mm-hmm.
Who else could you come up with that would be funny? 412-928-9370. Shaq played for Orlando. Shaq played for the Lakers. Shaq
Boston.
Played for Miami. He played for Boston?
Yeah, Cleveland.
I forgot about Cleveland at the end.
Boston was the last team, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, more on this as we move forward in the show. We could spend some time on this, on the Emmanuel Acho legacy formula and how flawed it is. And you can text us 412-928-9370. Coming up next, our sports director, Jeff Hathorn. Flyers made a trade yesterday I would have liked to see the Penguins make, so we can get into that maybe a little bit with Jeff. But he was talking about how Steelers players have gravitated to Aaron Rodgers. More on that with Jeff when we come back. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We'll let KDKA take care of that. It's the Fan Morning Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.